We have a tip for families who got shorted on parts of their federal stimulus payment. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Now to a coda to those $1,200 stimulus payments from the federal government. Parents were promised an additional $500 for each child, but many low-income parents never got that money. Now the IRS is giving them another chance to collect. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here. Nova, this is about claiming dependents.
Right. If you remember, David, in order to get stimulus checks out to people quickly, officials relied on recent tax filings and information the government already had about those getting federal benefits, such as Social Security and disability payments. Well, for parents, it got a little more complicated. If you'd claimed dependents on your 2018 or 2019 tax returns, you got an additional $500 for each child. But a lot of low-income parents fell through the cracks because they didn't have to file tax returns. They weren't required to. Since these parents were getting federal benefits, they were told they'd get the stimulus checks automatically. They didn't have to do anything else. But then word came from the IRS saying, oh, you do have to tell us about your children for the additional $500 payments. And it gave just 2 days for parents to respond. Well, a lot of people missed the deadline, David, and they didn't get the additional money.
Well, 2 days. So a reset. Right. What's the new approach now for families to get the $500 for each dependent kid?
Indeed, it is a reset. The IRS is reopening registration on its website. Parents have to fill out information on what's called a non-filers tool. This is, again, for people who have not filed a tax return in 2019 or 2018. They have until the end of September to tell the IRS about their dependent children, and then the money will go out in mid-October. That's 6 months after the stimulus checks first went out, David.
All right, Nova, thank you. In spite of pandemic, the real estate market, including home building, is running quite hot. Record low interest rates, below 3% for a 30-year mortgage, and people trying to move out of some cities to the country during pandemic are fueling demand from buyers. The coronavirus is also changing what people are looking for in a home, and builders are taking notice. Marketplace's Amy Scott has that.
Better technology, flexible space, dedicated learning areas for kids. These are some of the things we're likely to see more of in new homes. That's according to a recent survey of builders from Myers Research. Chief economist Allie Wolf says the most popular design change is geared toward the adults.
Consumers are eager to be able to have some kind of quiet space or designated workspace in their home.
Some builders are also adding health-related features. Developer Taylor Morrison now includes air and water filtration systems, touchless faucets, and bacteria-resistant paint in all its new houses. While demand for home gyms and classrooms may fade, CEO Cheryl Palmer says,
when you think about your health, we believe that this is a much more permanent need.
And she says the new features won't raise the price of houses, because affordability is still the most important feature of all. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Come for the context, stay for the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up 0.4% at the moment. The Dow future here up 0.2%. The S&P future up 0.3%. The NASDAQ future is up 0.6%.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The Democratic National Convention kicks off today, but due to social distancing needs, there'll be a lot of on screen, but not a lot of in person. Milwaukee had originally thought the gathering would bring 50,000 people to the city. Now it's just a few hundred. That's money down the drain for Milwaukee. Marketplace's Erica Barris has that.
In a typical August week, Omar Sheikh's carnivore steakhouse in Milwaukee makes around $90,000. But the week of the DNC, Sheikh had expected to make $500,000.
Is it a gut punch that we're not going to get it? Yeah, absolutely. We were looking forward to, just speaking frankly, making a lot of money.
Delegates, journalists, party officials would have eaten at restaurants and stayed at hotels. Milwaukee expected an economic impact of $200 million from hosting the DNC. Now, says Alderman Robert Bauman,
that is almost non-existent at this point. What's even more concerning is there could actually be negative impact at this point.
Local government has already spent around $10 million preparing for the convention, and local government employees spent thousands of hours, which Bauman says means
there's other work that they didn't do.
Milwaukee's also losing a great opportunity to show off its convention chops. Wesley Roll is a tourism management professor at Temple.
Hosting an event like this is a way of demonstrating to other meeting and event organizers and planners that your destination can execute something of this magnitude.
Milwaukee's experience may make cities think twice before bidding for the conventions 4 years from now.
They had great hopes for economic impact from this, and they got nothing out of it.
That's Eric Heberlich, a political science professor at UNC Charlotte.
So why should we put the effort into bidding and planning and raising money for these things if the parties can pull out and do virtual conventions and we get nothing out of it?
Omar Sheck feels he got something out of it, an uptick in business in the pre-pandemic months.
Everything from media to politicals to lobbyists.
He kept getting offers for reservations for his back room, but held out for bigger ones. In the end, he didn't get any. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And the news site Axios is reporting a shortage of cheaper laptops, a crucial component of distanced learning during the pandemic. The cheap Chromebooks that are big in primary through middle schools are getting tougher to find amid very high demand. You can still find some if you look online. I just looked. Other manufacturers of cheaper laptops are also seeing heavy purchases from government as their people work from home. It's demand, but it's also supply, with the pandemic slowing production of components in Asia and beyond. Without a screen attached to the internet, in many school districts, there is no education this fall. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.